Now let the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Today's scripture readings are from the New Revised Standard Version Bible. Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 4, verse 32 through 35. Now the whole group of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one claimed private ownership of any possessions, but everything they owned was held in common. With great power, the apostles gave their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as owned lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold. They laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. Our next reading is from 1 John chapter 1, verse 1 through chapter 2, verse 2. We declare to you what was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have looked at and touched with our hands concerning the word of life. This life was revealed, and we have seen it and testified to it and declare to you the eternal life that was with the Father and was revealed to us. What we have seen and heard was also declared to you. We also declare to you so that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We are writing these things so that our joy may be complete. This is the message we have heard from him and proclaimed to you, that God is light and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we are walking in darkness, we lie and do not do what is true. But if we walk in the light as he himself is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he who is faithful and just will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his words are not in us. My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Our final reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 20, verse 19 through 31. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may continue to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Today marks a new series for the Easter season. In it we will be looking at questions that will come for our reading from Acts of the Apostles, that each week a new question will arise from Acts. The questions may be directly from the text, and other times may arise from our reflection on the text. But each week we will be addressing a different question and exploring the answer that we find with the early church. Our first question in this series is, who is in need? This stems from a description that we are given of the early church. When we look at the way that the early church operated, we see a group of people sharing everything together, that they joined together with all they had and shared it together so that anyone in need would be taken care of. They brought anything they had together for the greater good, letting go of selfish and greedy desires. This presents us with our first question of this series. Who is in need? To answer this, we also need to think about how we can be like the early church today. It is sometimes hard for us to imagine what it would be like coming together and giving away everything to live together like that. But I think the question that it raises for us today is one about how we can come together to help those in need. But to do that, we have to consider who is in need of help. Our other readings today help to give us an idea of how we can begin to frame an answer to our question. We start with our reading from the first letter of John. We are given a picture of Christ in which Christ is there to cover the sins of everyone. Which means that if Christ's gift is for everyone, then we must consider everyone when we begin to think about who is in need. It also helps us to think about how we act together to respond in Christ. That we find fellowship together in Christ's care. That we find the help we need to do the right thing and to walk in the light. That we join together in that fellowship so that we are strengthened by each other and may do more when we join together. In that, we are much like the church that we see in Acts. They come together so they may do more together than they ever could apart. We do the same thing today when we join together as the church in Christ, knowing that we are stronger together than we ever could be on our own. We hear a different kind of strength in our gospel account from John. We hear a familiar story of Jesus appearing to the disciples. We hear that most of the disciples are together when Jesus appears to them. He shows them his hands and his side, but Thomas was not with them when this happened. Thomas wants to experience the same thing that the others experienced. That he wants to have the same assurance they had when Jesus appeared to them. We often label Thomas as doubting because of his stance, but I can understand. I can relate to him because he wants to have the experience everyone else had. He isn't asking for more. He just wants the same thing. Interestingly, when Jesus appears to Thomas, he offers him the chance to have that same experience, to see the wounds and feel his side. But Thomas already believes. He thought he would need those extra things, and it turns out he didn't. But Jesus says something that relates to all of the disciples at this point. They all seem to have come to believe because they have seen. Not just Thomas, but all of the disciples. They don't rejoice until they have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe. That there is something more when you can believe without having to experience the same thing. When you may believe without needing that extra. And this got me thinking about how we share Christ with others. How we can share our experience of Jesus to help bear witness to the difference he has made in our lives. And it brings us back to our reading from Acts. That everyone has gathered together and is sharing in everything together. But when they bring new people in, how are they sharing Christ with them? Because they won't be sharing something that can be seen. Not the way that Christ appeared to the disciples. While they may not be sharing something that can be seen, they are sharing something that can be felt. Because the love of Christ can be felt when they help those with them with whatever they need. And I extend that to any kind of need that people may have. We can get too hung up on all of, well, the financial, the physical, the material. That can become our sole focus. And we don't think about all the other needs that people may have. Especially because that isn't always the need people are searching for. How do people come to believe if they cannot see? They would experience the love of Christ, and they would experience it with the way that the church shared. Not just in what they shared together in physical things, though that is important, but also in what they do. Because there are many things that will bring us together in Christ. Because we come together to have a shared experience. They come together to share in love. We can experience that through shared activities. We come together in worship. We sing together and we pray together. We support each other with our presence. Because sometimes just being in a room with people that will support you is a strong thing to have. Knowing there are people that will pray for you without having to say it is a powerful thing. Even a silent presence is sometimes all we need. We share together in things that unite us in Christ, such as celebrating communion. When we come together to share in one bread and to drink from one cup, representing that we share in one body redeemed by one blood, it reminds us that we share in one love together. Sometimes we just need to know that others are there because it is a reminder that Christ is there. Sometimes it is the emotional support that we need, knowing someone is there to be strong when you are weak. And sometimes it is in knowing that you can be strong for someone else in their time of weakness. Because we have many different needs. Because it isn't just about needing someone to lean on, but part of that emotional need is knowing you can be there for someone else. Because we all want to find a way that we can help. We all want to find ways to be a useful part of a community. And we all seek out the bond of friendship. Friendship is something that we find in Christ. And that friendship in Christ helps us to be better friends with each other. When we extend friendship in Christ, we share a bond with the early church. They came together so that all could feel welcome and all could belong. They shared a friendship that helped to give them all purpose. They shared together that all would be better together. I was thinking about that question that we started with. Who is in need? After thinking about all this, the answer that I ended up with is all of us. Every single one of us is in need in some way. We may not all need the same thing, and we may not need them at the same time. Because life will come with ups and downs. We will have different needs at different stages of life. We may need different things because of who we are with our own strengths and weaknesses. But when we come together and we share in what we have, we are better. When we come together and we share in the material goods that we have, when we help to fill that need when someone else is lacking, we share together in Christ. When we share together with our emotions, we also share together in Christ. When we share a joy with others, it can bring others joy. Because there is something fulfilling about celebrating a joy together that can lessen our own sorrow. There is also something fulfilling and when we share a sorrow together because it helps to lighten the load because we know that we do not carry it alone. We know that Christ lifts us up when we share in those emotional needs together. We also grow when we share our thoughts together. When we take on intellectual endeavors together. When we study Scripture together, we exchange the thoughts that we have and we grow in our understanding because we share in the way that we experience Christ. We share in the lived experience that we have, and each of us grows in knowledge and wisdom because of the way we come together in Christ. I think all of those are important for how we live. Because we will all have physical, intellectual, and emotional needs. We all have spiritual needs. And we will have needs that we cannot fulfill on our own. We need community for them. And the community that we find in Christ is a community built on love, a community built on trust, a community built on faith, a community built in truth. And it helps each and every one of us. Because when we ask the question, who is in need, we quickly find the answer is all of us. But we also find that Christ is there to help us in our need. And Christ is there to help us to be there for each other. So let us never forget the gift of our risen Savior. Let us never forget the love that we have been shown. And let us help one another. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.